Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show. Before we get going, a little heads up, we are having some major flare activity coming in. The sun is getting ready to go ballistic again. It was pretty dead, but now, you know, there's an old saying that the mother's going forward and she has an agreement with the sun, you know, to help her on her path. So the sun is doing its thing. And so you're going to feel a lot of energies coming in. You know, we just got to learn how to flow with these energies, purify our minds, our bodies, our emotional bodies, and get with the program. But anyway, I've got a great show tonight. I've got Itasha, and she's an Arcturian contactee and a sun dancer and a pipe holder. And her walk has been many years in sacred spaces, learning, teaching, and healing. Mount Shasta, the Dakotas, the Cascades, the White Mountains, the Blue Mountains of all in her home. She's a history, anthropology, and Spanish teacher. It's just most important and beloved job is mother and grandmother. She has written and performed poetry, songs, and dances for Native Images at ASU, is a healer and Azteca dancer, clairvoyant, and telepath since birth. She's been trained and has interacted with star beings, angels, spiritual guides. Her life has been a gift. It's a joy to be here in this world. And if you want to get more about her information, you can go to www.windstargalactichealing.com. So without any further ado, we want to bring Itasha on the show. Itasha, are you with us?
I'm here, James. Hi, how are you?
Oh, doing great. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a joy to be here. I'm really happy to share this time.
You know, what's interesting, I've been really trying to get people on the show with a Native American background to shed some light into this, the Star Nations and the contacts and the other things happening. And it's been like pulling teeth, you know. It's, you know, because a lot of them, it seems like a lot of them don't want to come forward and talk about it. And there are some that are talking a lot about it that don't really know, and they don't really represent, you know, they're not really a good representative of the Native American nations. But after talking with you for about an hour today, I was blown away, and I go, God, finally somebody I can talk to and get a Native American perspective on the UFO activity that's just off the charts right now.
It is indeed. There's, as you said, a lot going on, and for most of the indigenous people, it's been an awareness they've had for such a long time and are just now starting to share, I guess you would frame it, with the outside world. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, the Muggles.
I was thinking Star Trek.
Yeah.
With the rest of the galaxy.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to pigeonhole things. You know, they have the Native American teachings, and then they just have the, okay, they do the sweat lodges and the ceremonies and sun dance, and that's it. And then they don't even realize the deep connection with the star beings, the nature spirits, all the other things that come with those ceremonies. And I've always found it sad that people just, you know, they pigeonhole this group and that group. They have a box here, a box there, a box there. And really the Native American teachers are more about getting out of the boxes.
Well, I think the time has come, as you say, for all of us to be outside the box and to start looking at what's been in the box. And yeah, what's been in the box is a pretty cloistered world. There's this whole universe out there that we haven't even begun to explore fully. And there's so much we can all learn from each other. And I think that it goes beyond any one group of people, whether it's Native American or Aboriginal or whoever the group may be. And that's what's happening right now, is people are realizing there's more of a oneness, a universalness that they couldn't quite conceive of before.
Oh, yeah. And it, what I'm saying is that right now, well, they have a lot of prophecies. One is about the rainbow children, I guess, or the rainbow tribe coming together. Are you familiar with that prophecy? Or?
Yes, when the children of the earth shall come together and the rainbow warriors shall arise. Yes, I'm very familiar with that. And the warriors of the rainbow shall all arise.
Yeah.
And that's, I believe that's what you're alluding to, is that it's all the colors of the rainbow. And when we come together, we're this beautiful, brilliant, shining, clear light. But we all have something to share with each other. I don't think any one person really has all the answers. And that's been the problem. We each had a piece of it, but nobody had it all. And we still don't.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of part of the teachings, you know, with the Native American teachings, is that everybody has a piece of the puzzle. And when all the nations come together, then we're going to have a better understanding of what's really happening.
Well, a lot of it here on Mother Earth, we call it the, you know, this sacred hoop. Mm-hmm. And it's the hoop of life, the circle of life. And in that hoop, you know, we're trying to mend that sacred hoop right now. And that means bringing everybody into the circle. And a lot of the old prophecies, they alluded to the fact that each nation, each Native American nation, was responsible for a certain sacred ceremony, and that when the time would come, each nation was going to be called upon to share how they had guarded and preserved and persevered in their ceremonies, and each one was given an article of clothing. And this is mythological, if you will, or prophetic, however one chooses. And for example, one nation might have the moccasins, a mother might have the shawl, another the hat of a man or a woman. And that as each nation came together, they would bring the representative ceremony, the representative article of clothing, until you would have a complete male and a complete female. And when those two finally came together, you would have the divine masculine and the divine feminine, and that would be the oneness. And that time that was foreseen when this would happen would be within this 21st century. So we are in that time now.
Yeah. I know you spent a lot of time with, I guess he's Golden Light Eagle now. I know his name's changed like three times.
Since I've known Chief him. Golden Light Eagle, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I know he was Standing Elk when I knew him, and then he went to Chief Red Spotted Horse or something, or because that was his dad's name, and now we've spent a lot of time here at the ranch and had some great, sweat lodges and interactions, you know, with the higher dimensional beings and things. And he was talking a lot about one of the things that he said is that the divine feminine is coming in strong, and a lot of some of the elders in different nations are not stepping aside and allowing that to happen.
They're having a challenge with it because a lot of the energies became very static. It's sort of like they were guardians and protectors of these ceremonies. They were given a sacred responsibility, waiting for the time to come to share. So it was passed on from, you know, protector, holy man or holy woman, down through the generations. And when you do that over a long period of time, it's sort of like, okay, when is this going to happen? And the answer being the comical response many have given, soon. And, and so they kept going, sure, sure, soon. Meanwhile, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Well, what happened while they were doing what they were doing is soon has arrived, and the time is now. And it caught many, even of the sacred wisdom keepers and many light workers, caught them off guard, because the time is now. Mm-hmm. The time is now. It is the moment for us to share all of this. So now they're going, oh, wait a moment. That means I have to go back and get all of my things I've been protecting so long. So a lot of nations are, you know, Native American nations are patriarchal, a lot are matriarchal, but what was supposed to happen is they were to come together. So Chief Golden Light Eagle started, as you know, the Star Knowledge Conference. Yes. And wrote the beautiful Star Knowledge manuals that you can go on the Star Knowledge site and read and look at. And this alludes to these teachings that have been protected and passed on from generation to generation for so long, awaiting this very moment. So he stepped out, as you know, in 1996, I believe, and began to travel around the world and share this. He is a Sundance chief. He is very sacred, ceremonial guide and a person that's bringing all of this out and making people realize that we all are in this together now. And that's been a tough one for a lot of people to realize because they've been alone for so long. And now all of a sudden we've got each other to share this amazing teaching and energy and ascension with.
Yeah, he's been kind of the spearhead of that, of getting, you know, getting the teachings out. And I know he was close to Wallace Black Elk and some of the others that got a lot of flack for starting, you know, bringing this information out and saying it's time, you know, to start releasing the teachings.
Well, I had met him several years ago, and he ever so kindly invited me to be part of this beautiful Star Knowledge Conference. And mm-hmm. what a joy that and a gift that was, because it meant an opening up of a circle of people that could now come together and share all of this amazing knowledge. So many elders, many wisdom keepers, medicine people began to come to these conferences, as many from other walks of life and teachings. And the call came out to myself. I was living in the Apache Reservation in the year 2008. And this is before I met Chief Golden Light Eagle, and I had been told by a lot of the holy people at that time that we were called into the cities and urban areas and to share in any way that was appropriate as much as possible. So this year, it was this year that has gone by, 2012, it was the year that we were all called from all corners of the earth in many different countries, not just Native Americans, to come together for 2012, 12, 12, 12, and share all of our prophecies, our ceremonial ways, our songs, our dances. And that's what's happening now. So 2012, rather than being the end, was actually the opening, as you know, I'm sure, of a portal of awareness that we are now in, and the energy is amazing.
Oh yeah, it's off the scale right now. I know a lot of people aren't doing real well with it because they haven't done their homework, you know, and they haven't led a spiritual life, and so they're still carrying a lot of old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences and just a lot of old baggage, and it's just not frequency specific to where the earth is going right now.
Well, Gaia is definitely going through some birth pangs and definitely acknowledging the creative aspect, and that means inclusion of this divine feminine force, and we are doing some very new things on this planet now as we access these divine feminine frequencies combining with the divine masculine frequencies. So it's not just the masculine or the feminine anymore. It's mm-hmm. both uniting together. So Venus and Mars must now unite.
Yeah. Well, it seems like because it was so out of balance that we needed a huge infusion of that divine feminine energy, and boy, it came in like gangbusters. And I know the Pleiadians are very extremely involved right now, and they're more of a matriarchal society, it seems like, or they're very balanced, but they have that beautiful love and bliss energy, you know, that they're bringing with the other natural cycles that are occurring as well. I'm curious as to what information you've got about the incoming energies and this cycle that we're going through.
Okay. Boy, you've opened up a doorway here. Thank you. That's an easy step through that door. Yeah. The Pleiadian nations are so beautiful, and they have brought in such a balance, as you say, of love and sweetness and just healing and compassion, empathy into Terra, into Gaia at this time. And this had to set the stage, and this took thousands and thousands and thousands of years, as you know, and it's still going on. And they did everything within their power to get people's attentions, from ships, from orbs, from encounters, from contacts, in every way that could be done. And dreams, meditations, I could go on. And finally, you know, they've done some major contacts of coming in physical form to many people. We have the uniting of many of the star nations, and this includes the Pleiadians and, as you would know, the Andromedans, and now we have the Arcturians, who've been kind of waiting to come forward for all of the reasons that can be shared at this time. And these star nations have not been working alone. They've actually been working together, as you know. But had they come in a large group, it would have been overwhelming to humanity. So they came one at a time, so as to be very gentle. Because no one likes to wake up without their coffee and don't bother me till I'm ready to talk to you. So they were very sweet about it. But now the time has come when they're going, okay, we hope you're awake now. And we'd like to introduce you to some of our other star brothers and sisters across the galaxies, because we aren't in this alone, and we're with you, and so are they. So we have the Arcturians, and you've seen my site. You know I'm connected with them, that have come in on a huge portal opening in 2012. And what's going to be happening is a tremendous influx of energy, because you have these new star nations that were not quite so much out in the open before. They were here, but they weren't in your face here. And now they're saying, we need to talk.
Yeah. And their energy is so intense. I mean, there's just about a half an hour ago, I was about ready to just go stick my head in the snow, because it was there's so much energy coming in. My crown was heating up so much. And I go, oh, these are probably your friends coming over, you know, to make sure the show goes all right.
Well, it was interesting when you mentioned the bio being erased, because with these frequencies, and you and I've talked, and many people listening know, the electromagnetic fields of the Earth are changing, the solar maxima flares and all of the other things going on, and the pole changes. But congruent with this are the influx of energies and gamma rays coming from the arrival and the uniting of the different star nations here on Gaia. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because Earth is going into this fifth dimensional stage beyond the 13th dimension, and into this higher frequency, I believe it would be around one, you can correct me, about 1,400 megahertz, around in there, that it's pretty high frequency,
mm-hmm.
way beyond what the average person's frequency would be. And that would cause not only physical changes upon the Earth, but the physical changes within our bodies and our brains, our neurons, our cells, our cellular structure. And as that happens, not only would we see climate changes on the Earth as the Earth goes through these birthing pangs, but we would see emotional changes and health-related changes and life-related changes within our own selves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like we were talking earlier about the electromagnetic spectrum, how it ties right into the vibrational continuum, or the what some call the dimensions. And when we understand that there are these super high dimensional beings, you know, coming in on gamma rays and X-rays and ultraviolet and infrared, and all these different levels, that those are whole dimensions. And there's beings that, you know, some beings are physical, some are less dense physical, some beings are energy beings, and some beings are light beings. And then there's beings that are just pure consciousness, and they have their ships. You know, some are Merkabas, some are light ships, some are energy ships. And I find it amazing that when you really understand the big picture, which I think is impossible, he has the whole picture. But I tell people, I figure everything finally. What I did was I just put it all into the great mystery. You know.
I love it. That's so perfect.
Yeah, that worked for me.
Oh, no, I loved when you used that, because in the old way, and I lived the old way for many years, and with the Lakota, I lived up there in the Klamath-Modoc area, and before the harmonic convergence, when we would discuss any of these things, we always discuss them in ceremony and in a very sacred way. And the wording we used was exactly what you just said. We would call it the great mystery, mm-hmm. because that was a sacred way of saying all of this. It's not that we didn't know. It's just that when something is so amazing and so awesome, it is great. It is a mystique. It is a great mystery.
Yeah, exactly. The what I've seen here, I know one of the reasons why, you know, people do vision quests and things like that are a lot of the practices here that we do with the we do Yigong and some Eastern thought, is they call it the practice of no mind. And you can't intellectualize, you know, what's happening, because it's so far beyond the intellect. It's even beyond the emotional body. It's in you know, as you move up that vibrational continuum, there's so much going on. But I know we were talking earlier about how hard it is to communicate with people that are just stuck in the mind and intellectuals, and how they want you to package it into their world. But, you know, it's not a very big package.
It isn't. Well, the reality is that we have an amazing, amazing planet, amazing, amazing civilization. And the reason we're so amazing and the Earth is so amazing is because we have evolved. And now we have come to the next evolutionary stage. Only this one is a giant step for mankind.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a giant step. We've got our toe out there, but we're almost afraid to take it because it is the unknown. And it's the unknown not only spiritually, mentally, but scientifically. We've relied on science to support our emotions, our feelings, and to validate to us that, yes, you know, this food is good, this behavior is good. But now we've gone to a point where science can't take us. And that's our problem. Because if science can't take us there, then who can? What can? And that's where we meet the next evolutionary step. That's where we meet the other dimensions. That's where we meet the star nations and the light beings and the Pleiadians, the Tau Ceti, the Andromedans, the Sirians, the Arcturians, because they are coming through these wormholes. They are coming through time travel. They are coming from universes and parallel universes and worlds beyond what we can even imagine to assist us. And the way that they're doing that is literally by helping us to alter our DNA, to adapt our frequencies, to be able to go into that spiritual and frequency area where we're not thinking with words, but we are feeling, we are sensing, we are experiencing, and it does require becoming still.
You know, so, I think, oh, go ahead.
No, please.
Well, I think, you know, it's funny because I'm kind of a bridger, you might say, because I've studied, you know, most of the religions. I know the Bible very well. I did it for self-defense, basically.
but, you know, to save your soul.
Yeah. Well, just so I could communicate, you know, with those who were trying to send me to hell. But, you know, and show them where all this is in the Bible. If we learn how to read it, you know, it speaks about, you know, the sweet energies of the Pleiades in the Bible. It talks about, you know, the house of Orion, the true gnosis of God, you know, and it talks about the sons of Arcturus, you know, all of these things in there. You know, they talk about the many mansions that we know not of, and which are the different dimensions. And, you know, I can go on and on and on, you know, with the fiery chariots that people ascended in, and yes. And you know, Ezekiel is so Ezekiel. that was a contact.
A wheel within a wheel, the Merkaba. Yeah,
yeah, shiny disc comes out of the firmament with feet like calves, bronze feet like calves. It has fire and brimstone coming out from underneath it, and it sounds like a thousand rushing rivers when it lands, and then out of it come the cherubim, wheels within wheels with flashing lights all around them. If that's not a landing, I don't know what is. You know, it's very clear that we've been engaging these beings for throughout history, and it's in all the Vedic scriptures. It's in the Star Nations teachings. I know the Cherokee tradition, they point to the Pleiades and say that's our home. You know, that's yes. Where we came from. And a lot of others do, too. A lot of other, I know they do it in the Philippines. I've seen a lot of different nations point at the Pleiades and say, you know, that's where we came from. So it's throughout all of our ancient histories. And I think it's time we just get out of these little boxes, you know, and start looking at the big picture.
Well, absolutely. And back in the early 80s, there were several large medicine conferences going on all across the United States that included wisdom keepers, if you would, or holy people from all across the globe, including Germany, England, Greenland, etc., from all different nations. And I was able to be at one that actually took place here in Arizona, and it was up on the Navajo Reservation. And we had some Hopi people there. We had people from Tibet and we had some people from China. And what was interesting, we had translators. The Tibetans began speaking to the Hopi about their prophecies and their writings and the flying baskets that they had, that they would get into their flying crafts, this is thousands of years ago, and fly all across the globe. And they had writings that described different places that you could only see from the air way before mm-hmm. flight existed. And the interesting thing is that when the Hopi began to speak and some of the other medicine people, their translators translated the same exact stories. And these people had never met before in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a definite connection between the Tibetans and a lot of the Hopi elders. They seem to be like the same people.
They almost were. And we burst out laughing because as a translator translated from each group, they were telling the same story. So the flight, the spacecraft, the traveling to distant stars, the stories are all universal. Everybody has the same story. So at some point in time, humanity was able to go to the stars. We had contact, and we recorded it for future generations.
I like that saying, you know, that they've been saying, we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Oh, yes.
You know, I always say, yeah, we're the star nations we've been waiting for. We just forgot our roots.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Because many people, you know, many starseed and other people, they're just now finding their Sirian or their Pleiadian connection, and they're beginning to remember it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that's one of the things we do here. We do a lot of counseling work, and in the work will come up, you know, their Star Nation connection and their past lives as these different groups. And when they reunite with their family and that connection, boy, the tears flood, you know, and they just get higher in a kite and they just go through a total life-changing situation.
I love it when everyone begins to do this. And I've seen that too. A lot of what's coming forth as people reconnect with their star origins are the gifts that they are remembering when they remember who they are. Many of them have great gifts of healing, beautiful artists, music.
Oh yeah, it's amazing the transformation that happens, and sometimes you find out that they'll be doing something similar, like you know, they'll be working with high technology, and that's what they did in another life, but they're working with even higher technology, you might say, or they were working, you know, through art, or they you know were some kind of a builder or something. But it's funny when you go into a person's past and you find out, you know, they're in the same field in this life, just it might be a little more limited than the one that they came from. But that's why they're here, to bring that more unlimited wisdom into whatever they're doing.
So much of what seems to be happening is the healing, the food sources, mm-hmm. and the technology. And the interesting thing too is the acknowledgement of the dolphin and whale family and the connections many people are reuniting with them as they access their star knowledge. And we have these great guardians that also have been waiting to connect with us. So we are getting wisdom from the dolphins and from mm-hmm. the whale family as well.
You know, I was doing one of my shows from the beach in Santa Cruz, California, and I was doing it from my cell phone because I was on the road and doing workshops and classes. And so I go, well, I'm just going to go down to the beach and just do the show straight from the beach just do live, you know, from Santa Cruz, California. And so I did. And I'm right in the middle of the show, this dolphin came up and just stuck his whole head out of the water and just sat there staring at me, you know. Oh. And, yeah, and I just go, I just interrupted the show. I go, you know what? I can't let this go. I'm sorry. I said, this is a pretty profound thing going on here. I said, I have a very large dolphin here with his head totally out of the water, and he's just staring at me, and he hasn't moved, and he's just sitting there, and he's been here for about a minute, and you know, I would imagine he probably wants, you know, a word for this, for the dolphin, and you know, the dolphin brothers and whales, and you know, and then I started kind of receiving some information from it, and I just went ahead, and I said, well, this is what I'm getting, you know, and I just did it over the air, but yeah, it was quite interesting that it knew what was going on. You could tell it was totally tuned in and knew what was going on.
They are actually doing the healing of the oceans and of people as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people are getting dolphin codes, dolphin healing, dolphin messages, and the same with the whale people. So that's the other part of this new energy, is the connection that we're beginning to have, not only with each other and off planet, but realizing that here on our own planet, on our beautiful Mother Earth, and in our beautiful water and on Turtle Island, that we have all of these beautiful animal and plant people that have been trying to connect with us for so long, and we're now learning how to talk to the animals, how to listen to them, how to talk to the earth and talk to the trees and the plants and listen to them. They have so much to share with us.
You know, a lot of people in the mainstream, unfortunately, they've gotten so you know, hypnotized by their TVs and material world, and just thinking, you know, whatever they can hold on to and eat or whatever is it. You know, that's the program that they're running. And when you start talking about communicating with trees and plants and the nature kingdom and things of that nature, they just kind of look at you sideways or whatever. But I know you've got some incredible pictures. We do here of these, you know, like little elves and fairy beings flying around and totally interacting with people. And I had a psychologist here, and one of these fairy beings flew right in front of her face, sat there and hovered, and then took off. And it just turned her whole world upside down. And she said, you know, I medicate people when they tell me stories like this, you know. And I said, well, maybe it's time to stop medicating and start listening.
You know? Oh, my. Well, it's interesting because the average person, most people, they will say how much they enjoy flowers. They enjoy their gardens. Many people will tell you they feel very relaxed, like if they, you know, grow tomatoes or flowers or mm-hmm. being outside at the beach and going camping. For many people, they enjoy fishing. And the interesting thing is, I know a lot of people, they will admit they really aren't going fishing to catch the fish. Yeah. They're going fishing for the sheer joy of being out there in the sun and the fresh air, the peace and quiet, the water. So whether people want to use the term connecting with nature or whatever, the reality is they're doing it. They just have a different word to describe it. Mm-hmm. But most people, even little children, they want to be outside. They enjoy jogging, biking, walking, whatever. The average person doesn't understand that the reason perhaps they enjoy all of this is not just that it makes them feel good, but if you ask them, well, why do you feel so good? They'll tell you, I just feel relaxed just laying here on the beach with the sun touching mm-hmm. me and listening to the waves. So they do like it. They just
oh, yeah.
don't say it.
Well, it seems like today I was just reading an article about the pollution, the electronic pollution, and, you know, with all the cell phones and the towers and microwave communications, all those things going on right now are really desensitizing people. And when they get out in nature and get out of all that psychic turbulence, even the consciousness of the mainstream or social consciousness is turbulent, you know, the psychic turbulence there. But as soon as they get out in nature, all of a sudden they just like take a breath and they go, they feel so much better. And they don't really realize why they feel so much better when they get, you know, back in touch with nature and get out of all that turbulence that's going on.
Well, we definitely have become a cloistered society, and we've become so busy that we often don't take the time to relax. So I believe that getting back in touch with Mother Earth, getting outside more, letting, you know, take your shoes off, stand on the earth, feel the earth, close your eyes, feel how that sun feels on your face, and just even for a moment, no matter where you may live, whether it's an apartment, city, country, I think if we take just a moment, maybe 5 minutes a day, to do that and just breathe. And I know the air quality isn't always the highest, but the reality is if we begin learning to feel our breath as we take a moment to breathe in and breathe out and begin to calm ourselves, and whether we know it or not, when we do that, we are entering into a higher stage of consciousness. So in a very subtle way, we're meditating. We may not call it that, but we're entering into a meditative stage, slowing down our heart rate, relaxing, lowering our blood pressure, and beginning to quiet our mind. And that's where we connect spiritually. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree. I think it's such a good practice to greet the sun in the morning and then say goodbye to it on the way out and give thanks. You know, but without the sun, we'd be popsicles basically, and we would have life on this planet. But I don't know if you've noticed it, but whenever I go out and I'll do a meditation in the morning, I'll do some practices and stare at the sun. I've noticed the energies of the sun are always changing. Like one day there'll be a lot of purple and maybe yes, pink coming from the sun. Another day it's blue and like purple or blue, or then it'll shift into turquoise. And I noticed that if I pay attention to that, you know, I'll see a really strong violet or bright red orange, you know, coming off the sun. And if I pay attention to that, I know what kind of energies are coming through and what the process is for the day.
You're so right. That's so beautiful, isn't it? I've been noticing that as well. It's interesting you bring it up, because I've been noticing today, for example, a lot of blue, a lot of purple. And the last few days out in the area where we live, a lot of almost magenta and melon colors, and then streaks of like lilac going through it. And then it would change to bits of turquoise. Beautiful, beautiful connective energies. It's different. And I just wondered if many people have noticed it. You're right. It's interesting to find out if many other people have noticed this as well.
What I've noticed is if there's a lot of green energy, you know, coming, I'll see these little spots or vortexes or portals of green energy coming in. And I go, well, today's a really good day for healing, you know, for releasing healing, you know, or if the purple or the violet energy is coming in, I go, well, today's a transmutation day, you know, and then I've seen days with a really hot orange, you know, bright orange and yellow energy's coming in, and I go, "Oh, today's everything's going to come up today." You know, this is some hot energy coming in. This is going to be a chaotic day. You know.
Well, all of these portals are opening. It's kind of interesting because so many people have, gone to different places for vortexes or portals. And as all of this that you describe is going on, these vortexes and portals now are opening up all over. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, I basically live on one. So yeah, we have this is a real sacred place here, and it's a vortex, and it's a place where the dimensions are very thin, so people who come here can open up very easily and connect with their own inner guidance and receive the healing energies and things, and a lot of crazy stuff goes on here. I'm sure you've seen that too, but we've had just spontaneous healings, you know, of tumors and broken bones and just all kinds of things. But a lot of that is conditioned on the consciousness of the individual, you know, that's here. You know, if you come here and demand a healing and pull out your checkbook, you're probably not going to get one. You know? I've had that happen. I had a guy come here and he had his checkbook out and he said, "Hey, if I can get a ride on the ship," he goes, "Name your price. What do you want?" He goes, and he was very, very extremely wealthy. He goes, $50,000. You know, what do you? You know, I'll write you a check right now as long as I can get on one of these ships. And I just told him, I said, it's really not between me and you. It's between you and them and having your consciousness in the right space. And I said, I can't promise you a ride on a ship. Maybe one of the lower ones might pick you up and probe you or something. But, you
know. Well, it's there are no qualifications monetarily, as you say, and you know, it's been said that a civilization that deals predominantly with money in throughout the universes, throughout the galaxies, is considered in a state of enslavement, mm-hmm. and money was meant to facilitate energy and sharing. It was never meant to be used to access any type of special privilege. And we're at a stage now where we're going to have to go beyond money and find how to use these energies to manifest and mm-hmm. to co-create. And that's going to be a big evolutionary step.
Yeah.
When you can't buy your way into the heavens.
Yeah, those little green pieces of paper. I always ask people, what's more important is what you did to get it. You know, it's not the paper that creates self-worth or you know, whatever. It's what you did to get it. And we need to get really clear on that. And what you're doing with it. It's just an exchange, you know, of energy. But when people use it, like you're saying, to enslave others and to create a hierarchy or an elite, then it's pretty much useless to me when they take it in that direction.
Well, basically, for the Star Nations, and my predominant involvement has been with the Arcturians. And a lot of people have equated them with the tall blondes or tall whites, which was a terminology I never heard until about the last 2 years. They operate completely on heart center. Mm-hmm. It is based on your love, your tumen of your heart, your willingness to share, your compassion level. And it's kind of interesting because it has nothing to do with station in life or personality. I've met people that for a very moment or second in time, their heart was so filled with love. We've actually done some time travel and had an instant after actually being with Chief Golden Light Eagle, and we went out to all of us out to a dinner, and he left, and I was with some people, and at that moment in time in that restaurant, the love, and it had nothing to do with personalities or anything, and I didn't know them, was so immense that right there in the restaurant, we did a time travel. And we went into an Arcturian space, and there was about 2 hours of missing time. And I knew it was happening when we returned to the restaurant. They did not know what had happened. They just said, oh, we've been here a long time. We best leave. And then later they came back to me, and they said, we just realized what happened. We have two unaccounted hours of time. And I said, well, I wasn't going to tell you because I didn't want to distress you, but this is what happened. And they said, how did this happen? And I told them very simply, you were so filled with love. There was so much love at that very moment in space and time that we simply transported into another dimension and back. And as unbelievable as that may sound, it did happen. We did talk about it, and they asked me if I could recreate it, and I said, no, I can do nothing. We did it. You did it, and it happened because you were filled with love, an immense, immense love.
Yeah, it's definitely, that is the key. You know, I tell people love is the ultimate power. It's a cosmic glue that, you know, set everything into motion, holds everything together, you know, so if we really want to connect with that. But a lot of people don't understand that, you know, love serves. Love empowers. It never overpowers. It doesn't exalt itself above others. It's in that totally unified field where you know, you merge with everything and you love everyone and everything, and then these events happen.
Isn't that beautiful when that takes place?
Yeah. No word for it. I had an experience with the Tibetan Foundation once, and with Ezekiel, this being, it's an ascended version of Ezekiel that actually merged with the feminine energy and then went up into a higher level, but took me out of body, and I sat in front of this being with long golden hair, golden robes, golden beard, all flowed into energy, and I just sat there and cried, and just the tears were just streaming down, and the people in the group were going, what's happening? Are you okay? What's happening? And I couldn't speak, and all I could say was no words. Like, there's no words for this. It was a total transformation. It happened right after I had a drowning. I had a near-death experience where I actually drowned and crossed over and came back. Yeah, there's no words for that when it happens. And they go, hey, can you do that with us? Can you show us how to do it? I have no idea. I said, I don't know how to teach this. It's something that just happens, you know, when you're ready.
Oh, wow, you're so right. It is so beautiful. It is so beyond words. And one of the things that we talked about at this last Star Conference, we were just all hugging each other. We were all just so... We used the term, some of us, in love with each other, mm-hmm. in love with each other, a love that goes beyond worldly love, beyond masculine, feminine, that even though many of us did not know each other, a lot of times we just hugged, we just beamed because there were no words. The love we felt was beyond any words. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is. There's no words for it, and I'm sure that room is probably full of all these higher dimensional beings that were adding their energy, and you know, people were rising to the occasion and just having incredible connections. I always think about, can we just imagine a whole civilization operating that way?
Oh, James, that would be heaven on earth. That would be the most amazing connection we could have. And one of the things that I think has become a trite saying is, you know, we tell people we love them, and then a lot of times we try to rationalize through that. But this love that we're talking about is straight from the heart. Mm-hmm. And you just look at someone, and I don't know if you've noticed this lately, but some of us talked about after the conference, we just see someone that maybe we don't know who they are. We could be in a store. You could be walking down a street, and perhaps you've had this happen, and all of a sudden someone looks at you, and you look at them, and you just smile, and they just smile, and you just feel so happy, and there's no words. And this, for many, I know of my friends, other people, myself, it's like, I just love you. I don't know you. I've never met you before in my life, but I just love you. And that same look comes back from them. And it seems this is happening to more and more people. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. You know, after I had that near-death experience, I had this big bliss grin on my face, and I was just all higher than a kite, and I was having trouble because this dimension was kind of shifting in and out, and I was watching things go from physical matter to like energy and little light packets and back and forth, and it was like, it was kind of crazy for a while. It took me a long time to get grounded again. I was all blissed out, but what was in this society, people looked at me and they either thought I was gay or stoned. Think of, what are you on? You know, what are you been smoking or drinking? You know, and even here in the town, when I came to the Trout Lake, you know, it's a logging community, a good Baptist community, and I'd go in, I'd do my practices and my meditation, I'd just be higher than a kite, and I'd go in and I'd be just all blissed out and smiling at everybody, and they just wondered what I was smoking, you know, or what I was. What kind of coffee I had or something, I don't know, but it was, and I had to tone it down. I just get, God, you know, I have to tone it down because, you know, and kind of, you know, hang out in their frequency because it made a lot of them very uncomfortable.
It does, make many people uncomfortable. Yet the interesting thing is that those of us that are comfortable with this love frequency and this ascension and this divine connection, we seem to be attracting each other in larger and larger groups. And I believe that is assisting in the spiritual divine ascension of Gaia as we begin to send forth this love, as we begin to connect with each other spiritually in this field of love beyond our home, beyond our physical cities and state. And it seems more and more that, for example, someone that I haven't talked to for a long time, I'll be thinking of them and I'll just run into them. They'll just call. And we seem to be connecting on such a high spiritual plane in this love frequency that we're coming together in mind and physically, more and more and more of us. And right. As we do this, we spread this love more and more across this earth.
Have you noticed that, I'm sure you notice it, that, you know, you're, you know, before the phone rings, you know who's going to be on the line, or if somebody's trying to get in contact with you, you know, you call them up and they go, God, I was just thinking about you, you know. That seems to be one of the activations that's going on. And I know it has to do with one of the DNA lines when they open up, is telepathy is one of the activations that are happening. And people are becoming much more telepathic, and they're being, there's a thing called direct knowing where they just know the truth about things. They can sense the frequencies about things. And it's kind of amazing watching this unfold.
Well, a lot of the crystal children that are here now, I mean, we've been part of the Indigo, and of course we've had the rainbow children, the crystal children that are coming in. Many of them are not using speech. They're using their telepathy, and they seem to have a wisdom beyond their years and a knowing. So this is the beginning of the next group of people that will guide our planet forward. And those of us that have paved the way before, I think that, like you said, we had to shut down some of our telepathy in other ways and stay very 3D, very grounded, in order to be of assistance to others. Mm-hmm. And so we had to set aside some of this, even though we had all of this. But now many of us that were Indigo, we're now saying, okay, I want to fully be the being that I came in to be, this fully clairvoyant, telepathic, all-knowing, love-filled, light-filled being, and I'll be of assistance, but I can no longer put aside the gifts of divine spirit because I can be of higher assistance using these gifts. So we always were telepathic, is what I'm saying. We were clairvoyant. We just weren't using it.
Mm-hmm. It's like a muscle. It atrophies if you don't use it, you know, and we need some kind of like spiritual calisthenics, you know, to help us reactivate these gifts.
But now that we're being activated, and you mentioned our DNA, and you know about the crystalline DNA that is being ignited and awoken, if you will, within many of us. And this is really an amazing, amazing feeling. And as we embrace this and step into this, it is becoming more and more difficult to go back into any of the 3D role. Mm-hmm. Once you've been transitioning through 4D and using the gifts of the spirit and moving into, or already are, into the fifth dimensional way of being, where you don't even worry about any of that and you instantly co-create and co-manifest and connect telepathically with others, you don't want to go back. It's so beautiful.
I agree. Now, on a science level, I know that they're measuring just the cosmic rays coming in or off the scale, and that those are major transformational rays and DNA activators. There's other rays coming from the sun. I know we're getting bombed by gamma rays and X-rays and ultraviolet from other sources too. I mean, the incoming energies right now are just off the scale. And, you know, this is NASA stuff. This isn't woo-woo that some people would try to put it in, you know, that category. But, I mean, this is science. And they know there's a new particle coming off the sun that they haven't seen before, which is actually changing the carbon atom to a more crystalline structure. So things are definitely being measured and observed scientifically right now, but I think they're only truly be understood spiritually.
Well, they definitely will be. And as you said, a lot of this is science, and we do have the International Space Station with, I believe it's, I don't know if it's 15 countries, and they, through their experiences, have contributed greatly towards knowledge scientifically, health developments, technology developments, plants, many things that are not widely spread because the information being gained at this, and this is just one aspect of science, at the space station, there's so much happening that it hasn't been put out there to everybody across the globe. So there are developments scientifically that many people have not heard of and have not accessed. I do know the Fermi telescope is accessing a lot of the information of the new galaxies that have been formed. And I believe it was in 2010 when they were able to see and put forth the images on the, you're familiar with, I'm sure, the Fermi bubble, the pictures of, or images, if you will, NASA images of the universe and the Milky Way galaxy. And inclusive in this were the gamma rays that you mentioned coming from other universes, from other galaxies. And they were very excited.
Yeah, I know they've got galactic cores just going off right now, and it's almost like somebody's let off an atomic bomb at the center of our Milky Way, and that's going to be spreading out, you know, these huge waves of energy. But I think it's a good thing, not a bad thing. But the have you noticed they just recently let out some information, NASA did, that we're getting slammed by huge magnetic waves and pulses from galactic core, or whatever, galactic planet, everybody has a name for it, that, yes, that we're moving into that right now. And we're also moving into this huge supercharged cloud, you know, a plasma cloud at the same time. And the Russians have been talking about this. But NASA just finally released it. But they don't know the effects. They don't know what this is going to do. And, you know, with our shields down, our magnetic fields are way down on the earth right now. He's going through a shift, but they're all scratching their heads, and some of them are heading for the hills and going underground, you know, because because of what's coming.
Well, just to, and I'm not a physicist, but just to, you know, and I know you have a great deal of science knowledge, but Einstein, for example, you've heard of the Einstein-Rosen bridge, which was the theory of a black hole sucks in energy. And I'm really encapsulating this because, you know, I don't want to talk too long on this. And that it can go out the other end. There's a bridge that goes through this wormhole. And when it comes out through the white hole, it emits energy. Well, what's happening is this creates a wormhole, if you will, in a way, an opening through which people or other dimensional life forms can travel. And I'm really shortening this because, you know, it's not a long show, but this allows for the theory of time travel by utilizing this bridge. And what they're showing, and I'm really cutting this down, so forgive me for not going in great detail, but it would take about an hour. What they're showing with the telescope in the Milky Way galaxy are these emissions of light and these gamma rays that are coming from over 25,000 years away from Earth. And these are energies and frequencies, and you're right, they're trying to decipher all of this, and they've basically been getting this information since about 2010, so they've only had a couple years to try and make sense of all of this.
I'm curious what the if you know of any Native American elders or what are the ancient stories about these times that we're going through.
Yes, I'm sure that you know of the prophecies. You've mentioned the Rainbow Warriors, but also specifically, you know about the White Buffalo Calf. You've heard
yes.
that story.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And very briefly, you and I spoke a little bit of the appearance not only of white buffalo calves, but also of the moose, the white moose, and the mm-hmm. other animals that are being born. And it had been prophesied that when these sacred spirit animals came, that it would be a sign of this new age. And that is what we are now seeing. We have had many white buffalo calf born, and I know up in the Wisconsin and Minnesota area, as I shared with you, we've had the white moose. And
yeah.
this is a sign. This is a sign that has come to be. And that means that we are at the end of an age and the beginning of a new one. So it's not that it's going to happen. We are right in it right now. And that is one of the prophecies, that when we would see this, it was a sign that we were in this change.
Mm-hmm. I know I was having dinner with Wallace Black Elk before he passed, and it was kind of interesting. And he told me one of the Lakota prophecies, and I said, can I share this? And he said, yeah. He said, yeah. I said, all right, okay, you know, before I get in trouble with this one. But he talked about a beast, and he said, there is a beast, and the beast is 2,000 miles wide. He said, the reason it's 2,000 miles wide is that's how long it will reign, you know, have its reign. And he said that the beast is all-consuming, and it just wants to control and dominate and consume everything. And he said, right when you think there's no more hope, there's all hope is gone and everything, the beast consumes itself. And then the new age starts, or the, but, it's really interesting. You really think about that. And I'm sure I've missed a couple parts of it. I think I've got it pretty clear, but really that's what we're doing right now. The pure, you know, unbridled greed and gluttony of the banksters and the corporations and the politicians and all this stuff has just gotten so, you know, it's gonna go a little further, I think, before it totally implodes on itself. But it has become so disempowering and oppressive and all consuming it's unsustainable. It can't sustain itself, and I think that whole system is just gonna crash and implode in on itself. And when that does, that's when people are going to be free, you know, to live a more spiritual life, you know, in harmony with each other and nature. But and I think that's the times we're in right now. We're looking at the implosion and dismantling of the beast, and that's information I've been getting from the higher beings, is that they said tyranny is coming to an end, and it's not.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not frequency specific to the planet and to Mother Earth and where she's going in her process. And so those who are still holding that frequency are trying to operate, you know, within that grid, their whole system is collapsing, and they're not going to be around, you know, when this shift happens, when we're through with this shift.
Well, it's very interesting you say that. A couple of things in relation to that, and that is a long time ago, it was actually Martin Hybear, who is the Lakota medicine man, shared with me. We used to go in circles of medicine people, and what would happen is everyone would share their prophecies, and it wouldn't just be one or two, it would be many. And mm-hmm. and that's all it would be a sharing of prophecy. And the same prophecy that came up over and over and over no matter where we went, from all different people, was in terms of the earth changes, they would say, well, will it be by water? Will it be by fire? Will it be by flood? And one of the signs that they all said, and this is terming it in the old way of speaking, they told us, no, it will be Mother Earth being spanked by ice and snow, that you would see ice and snow in areas where there had not been ice and snow, and you would see a lessening of ice and snow in areas where there had been. And when this would occur, that we were closing out the old world and entering the new one. And that is what we're seeing in parts of the world where we have ice melting, and then in other parts where we have blizzards and snow profoundly. That's one aspect I wanted to share. The other is in regard to the star nations, and I'm sure you and many are aware of this. They work in a group energy, and a lot of times when they come, the light in which they travel, it looks like one great big orb or globe or flash of light. What it really is individual beings of light that have all come as one cohesive group, and they look like one big ball of light. But as they disseminate, you see, oh, wait a minute, these are individuals. So some of the photos I have, and I shared some, you'll see one big glow of light, and then in that glow you'll see five or six different people from other dimensions that are distinct faces, features. But when you first see them, because they work as a unit, they come as one big glow of light. So what we're going to be doing here on this planet is setting aside our individuality and begin to learn to work as one unit of light. And the only way we can do that is to stop being perhaps selfish, perhaps hoarding, not sharing the wealth, the money, the clothes, the food, the housing, all of that, and learn to share with each other, to help each other. And while we maintain and retain our individuality, we cannot progress until we do this.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I've seen that over and over and over, that the way the system is now is that, the elite are holding the majority of resources. But, I mean, those resources are just little green pieces of paper and digital, and electronic digits, basically. And when things crash, I mean, what are they going to do? You know, it's like that paper, you can't eat it. You know, the digits, you can't eat the digits. You know, it's not going to, you're not going to be able to buy anything with it, because what's going to be important is, you know, fresh water and food and community and things of that nature. So it's like they're going to be, you know, they're already very poor and very spiritually poor, but in the end they will be, you know, materialistically poor as well, because they haven't shared and they haven't shifted, you know, into service mode. You know, it's more about self-service.
Well, in terms of sharing, there obviously has to be housing, there have to be new energy sources, and we have the ability right now to access new technologies. We have the technology, and it needs to be given out to others. We need to be able to utilize and harness solar energy. We need to be able to utilize hydro power, wind power. All of these things are there. We know how to do it, and it needs to be gifted out to the average person and become less dependent on fossil fuels and less basically stripping the earth. And as we do that, we become less political. We are political because we have only accessed the fossil fuels, so we're dependent on oil, for example, and the sun is free.
Yeah. And, you know, there's other energy, too. I mean, people don't realize it, but this earth is just a giant generator, and it's generating all kinds of energy. And there are people that have learned to tap that energy and tap zero-point energy as well. And that technology, I mean, I've seen it. I've held devices in my hand that were as big as a small pie plate that had 9 coils, and each coil generated, it was 25,000 watts. It's a little tiny.
Absolutely.
So it was, you know, that little unit there would run, you know, your whole neighborhood and your vehicle and everything else. And these units, too, if you don't put a governor on them, they become counter-gravity. They'll take off and blow a hole through your ceiling. So, but, I mean, that technology exists. It's in the Black Projects. A lot of people are coming out with lesser versions of that. And it's out there. And I always say, too, is if you want to go solar or things like that, you just simplify and you have all your energy needs met. But, you know, if you want a billion appliances and all these other things running, then you might have to go a different route.
Well, the zero point energy is definitely there. And I believe it was Duke University a while back developed the ability, I think it's, is it called a Tachi code or umbrella, to have invisibility for a certain amount of inches. I believe it's enough for like a man's hat. You might have seen the picture of the invisible face with the raincoat and the hat on it. So that technology exists. Duke University's developed that. That's online. You can look at it. The anti-gravity devices are there. The Tesla coils, they are there, and they're being experimented with for energy devices. I spoke a little bit on this at the StarNaut conference of the zero-point energy field, and that if we, you know, let some of these patents out, we have it. It's just marketing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely there. I know there's a guy in Japan that had a car that ran 100% on water, and he had these fuel cells and I don't know exactly what kind of system he had, but it was all over the internet and everything. And he showed this car and he was driving it all over the place. And it didn't even burn the water. It didn't split the water. It was more like some kind of a fuel cell or something. And I said, God, let's get this guy on the show. So I had some friends over there in Japan. And I said, hey, can you go, here's the guy's name. Here's where he lives. Can you go track this guy down? And they did, and they went to his little lab there. You know, it was a pretty big building, and it was all boarded up. The guy was gone, and that was just a week after he released the information that he had this car. You know, he just disappeared off the face of the earth. So, you know, that seems to be happening over and over. They give you that deal. They go, well, here's the big briefcase of money. Take this and have a nice life, or, you know, you and your family may not, you know, be around the next couple of weeks or whatever. And they usually take it, you know, that most of them take it. It's sad, but I think it does need to get dispersed somehow out on the internet and get it out there and have it being built in garages all around the world. And then pretty soon there's no way of stopping it.
Well, one of the things that's fairly widespread, I'm sure you've seen it, as have many, is the recycling of the oils that are used in a lot of the restaurants. And they have recycling places. I know there are many in California and other places of the country where you bring your oil from cooking French fries or whatever it may be, and they use it to fuel vehicles. Mm-hmm. And they've been very successful in this and have a lot of places that people can go. So, you know, a lot of restaurants are cooperating in this. So it is starting to take off openly. Unfortunately, not massively enough, only in certain places.
I kind of like following those cars around because they smell like French fries. With the bio or whatever they use. But it's kind of funny. They do. They actually, a lot of them smell, you hear them running, they smell like French fries.
Oh, my goodness. So we have these alternatives there, and these ZeroPoint energy and anti-gravity devices, as you know, they're out there. Mm-hmm. They're available. It seems there are a lot of philanthropists and people that are starting to come out of the woodwork. I know the Cherokee Nation is working a lot of projects water projects, housing projects, mm-hmm. and a lot of the other groups are as well starting to take their funds and pool them into developing new sources of energy and cleaning up water and creating new types of houses, less expensive housing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I work with a German physicist, and he actually crystallized oxygen, and he actually stabilized it, and he puts it in a microhydrant, water. And when you drink this water, it's like prawn in a bottle, and oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get, you know, as far as cleaning your system up. But this stuff is just amazing, and we went through all kinds of hell. Had all kinds of infiltrations and shutdowns and you name it, because when I watched what this water did, you know, he took a petri dish and he had all these little bacteria and virus and chemicals in it. He dropped the water in it and they all popped from a complex structure back to their crystalline form and actually became food, you know, for the body versus having that toxic die-off, you know, program, you know, where you get sick and ill from that. But, you know, just incredible stuff. And you know, with the water and, you know, there's other technologies as well. And it's available right now. People can actually get this water and check it out. And if you take an oximeter, you know, that tests the blood oxygen in your finger, you put it on your finger, right. You drink the water, the thing just pegs, you know.
That is amazing.
Almost immediately. And, you know, there's technologies like this that would not only provide fresh water, because he can actually take sewer water and turn it into this supercharged healing water, but you know, we can actually have fresh water and incredible health and longevity and everything else, you know, with these technologies. And I think the only place you're probably going to get these kind of technologies out is probably on reservations.
Well, I've experimented a little bit just myself, because I don't have a science laboratory or other things, but I do have friends that do more sophisticated equipment, mm-hmm. to use carbon filters and also crystals to purify water in a device very similar to your blender, your coffee pot, doing it at home. As an individual, and when you test this water, it's very pure, it's very high in nutrient, and you can, I don't want to give people advisement because I'm not a scientist on the radio and, you know, have them perhaps not be able to do it, but I have experimented with it at home myself, and it's quite effective. Using crystals and other things to purify your water.
Mm-hmm. Just spinning it, you know, in the right direction, and it's amazing. You know, you can take some copper tubing and spin it. You know, I forgot which way. Don't quote me. I can't remember if it's counterclockwise, but it totally changes the nature of the water.
If pure copper tubing will definitely work, and if you use, as you say, if you spin it almost like a Merkaba, like clockwise and counterclockwise, mm-hmm. and if using the copper tubing also to revitalize it in the old way, the old alchemist saying is that copper has a memory and will never forget. And copper utilized with crystals is a very, very powerful conductor and purifier.
Definitely. You know, I wanted to get into a little bit about some of your experiences with the different beings. And I'm wondering what are some of the groups that you've been working with as far as the Star Nations and maybe a description of what some of them look like?
Okay. I had a little problem on my website opening up some of the photos, but if you do go there, there's a video there that shows a presentation of some of the photographs that I was able to take in our home. The star beings that I'm most close to are the Arcturians. I do see them. I have been with them and interacting with them for many years since birth. They themselves, the ones that I interact with, vary in height. From some are my size. I'm not very tall. I won't go into that. 5 to 6 feet in that range. But they also, the other ones that come in that are very powerful interdimensionally, range from 12 to 15 feet. The ceiling here in my home, for example, the peak of it goes up about 20 feet. And usually when they have come, if I'm outside, it's different, or if I'm in a building versus inside. But they always come with a very high-pitched frequency. You always know when they're coming. It's a ringing almost like a beyond what the ears can hear. Like if you take a high C note, as high as you can hear, and then beyond that. And so just before they come, there's that pitch, that shrieking, that siren sound. And then a fog will come. And usually it's a gentle mist. And if it's in an enclosed building, like if I'm here in my home or a teepee or an earth house or somewhere enclosed, that place will fill up very gently with a haze. And that's why I called my book The Purple Haze. And when the haze comes, it's usually a very gentle white, almost where you think your vision, I'm not seeing that. My eyes are clouding over. And then it sort of thickens. And just before they come through, it'll turn to sort of a gentle, sort of a lilac, purplish. And those are the gamma rays. And then there'll be a big burst. And that always comes through with a popping sound. And it'll be white light. And then they'll step through. And when they step through, you'll think you're like dreaming. And you'll just see like an outline of maybe a person or a shadow. But when they fully materialize, when they choose to, and it is of their choosing, I have no control or power over this at all. It is of their choosing. They materialize, some of them, not all of them, physically. And they will be as physical as you are. And they are, some of them, predominantly blonde. And my photographs, a couple of them are very clear. You can see them. Their eyes are blue. their eyes are very deep set. The brow is very high. And they're extremely serious. They never talk. I don't believe I've ever had a physical conversation such as you are, I are having. It's all telepathic. Usually when they communicate, the telepathy is so rapid that it's a series of almost like shortwave signals, like... Yeah. And then, but they translate into words and mainly pictures. And the pictures and the sounds are so rapid and intense that it's like having a conversation you and I are having at about 50,000 miles a second. So they give a tremendous amount of information in a very short time. And when they do come, and I interacted a lot with them physically up at Mount Shasta and up in Oregon, and on the Apache Reservation, a lot on the Navajo and Hopi Reservation. We've been down here in the city for several years, and they come around me in crowds, which is awkward for me sometimes. When they come privately, wherever I may be outside, and specifically here in my home, they're very physical, and the messages that they give and the instruction they give are very serious. They're so loving. I can't begin to tell you. They're so soothing. And it's so, I can't even describe it. It's so joyous. It's so caring. Their concern for humanity at this time is tremendous. And they are coming more and more and more to more people. They have explained to me in larger groups because they're trying to comfort people. They're trying to give people their love, and they're trying to give people a lot of information. And believe it or not, a lot of it is scientific. It is scientific, what you would call scientific, to enable people to alter their way of being. Now, the lifestyle that we have, we don't sleep. The food source is pure energy. It's what you would call light breathing. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. So specifically, when I'm in communication with them, I may not sleep for days at a time. I do an energy recharge, which consists of what you would be very familiar with, and they energize me, but it's not sleeping, and you don't sleep, and they travel at rapid speeds to different places. I've heard it called teleportation or interdimensional travel. So we might be at Shasta, we might be in Arizona, and sometimes they just show me images. Other times they take me with them, and sometimes I'm in my body, sometimes it's my body. But they themselves are, as I have described them, the children, they're very, very, very family-oriented. They're very community-oriented. They care very deeply about children, babies, very, very important to them. Family units are extremely important to them. And the family units here on Earth are extremely important to them to care for the children, to care for families. But all I can say is to be in their presence is, there are no words, James. There are no words for this. But I do have the photos on my site. They are there in the video, and I'll try to open up the other photos. Upon asking, the way the photo came about, I had sat down, and my daughter took the photo. I asked her to, with a little camera, of myself. And I had come through a portal with them. I did not think they would show up in the pictures. I figured it was just me. Yeah. She put it on the computer, and she said, "Mom, you got to see this." And I came, and I went, "Oh, my God, they're all there." And I often feel like I'm Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole, because I'm talking to them and I'm seeing them, but no one sees them. And I feel a little silly, so I don't say, oh, there's a whole group of Pleiadians and Arcturians here. Uh-huh. But they will be talking to people. It's interesting because I've been with them in groups, and they'll be talking to people, and they'll be communicating telepathically, and I'll be watching this, and the other people won't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be going, oh my gosh, all these Pleiadians and Arcturians are here talking to these people. But the people get the message telepathically, but consciously they don't realize that they've been in contact with a group of star people. Mm-hmm. So when I first began sharing, it was with Martin Hyber, who was up on the Klamath-Modoc Reservation. And Martin and many of the Lakota had been interacting with the Pleiadians and the Arcturians specifically. And so when I arrived, we began sharing very openly. And we did many ceremonies in Washington State and in Oregon with off-planet people and Native Americans.
Yeah, you have to come up here.
Oh, God, I'd love to. It's been many years since I've been back there.
We have a lot of interactions with... I have some footage of an Arcturian ship, and it's amazing. It's just a bright light ship, but the thing morphs from one to three. It turns into three and back to one again, and it does it for about probably 30 minutes. I mean, I have it on film, and I had to cut it down, you know, because for the site and things. But, you know, it's amazing. And I go, God, that is like phenomenal technology when you can take, you know, your light ship and morph it into three or four and then back to one again and then shoot it out the other side and make three more and one again. And I was asking them, you know, I was meditating with them, and they go, we can make a whole fleet of ships, you know, and I started thinking about it. I go, boy, if you shifted your ship, you could make copies of yourself and your ship, like five or six copies, and put them all in different times. You know, and I was trying to wrap my head around this, about how you could never really be destroyed or whatever your ship, you know, A, because it's a light ship, but B is like you could just go back in time and then recreate it.
They do, and it is through these the utilization of this portal. That's really not the name for it, but through the use of this light that they're able to travel interdimensionally from many light years and from other galaxies and even parallel universes, which would be another whole subject, into this time and space. So they've already seen the future of Earth.
Yeah.
They've seen it.
Yeah, that would mess with your identity. You really think about that. So, you know, I go, what would I do if I was on a ship and then it was recreated three or four times and I met four or five other me's out there? You know, I'd be going, who am I? You know, it really kind of messes with your ego, you might say, when you start contemplating these things. But when you realize that you're all of it, you know, and that in truth you're this multidimensional being, you know, that's beyond imagination, then it starts to all come together.
Well, many, many things. To begin to do this, what's most important is in this frequency of love, and that's because this then does go into this light spectrum that we sort of discussed. And that's where you go beyond microwaves, beyond X-rays, beyond ultraviolet light, which is at that other end of the spectrum, into these gamma rays and into this time travel. And when they come through, and they're coming through multidimensionally, they're coming from other time areas beyond time, beyond this 2013, and they're coming in large light groups. And the interesting thing is that they're coming in more and more and more. And for my own self, I never know where I'll be and when they're coming. So it could happen in the grocery store. It could happen in a restaurant. They come with no time limitation, such as we know it. No time or place limitation.
Can you share some of the messages that they're giving you, like concerning, you know, basically what humanity and the Earth needs to do, you know, like, well, the Earth's going to do her thing anyway, but
yes. You know,
what humanity needs to do to adjust to these changes, and what are some of the possible futures that we're looking at?
Oh, boy. It's interesting you say that. And yes, I can share some. For the Star Knowledge Conference, they had given me about 10 pages of prophecies and things to share. And when they came in at my presentation, about the first 20 minutes, all the electronics went out. Yeah. So I wasn't able to share it. They couldn't get, if you watch me on the streaming, you'll see the fumbling with the computers. Their frequency was so high, we couldn't get the equipment to work.
Yeah, that's much a given. I've seen that over and over again. I'm really surprised we're getting through this show. They must be holding back a little bit on altering the frequencies.
Well, I best say something quick before they shut me down then. So I still have these 10 pages, and I'm not holding paper or anything here, but I remember quite a bit of what they said. And some of it, you know, we have to be honest, it's not all roses.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. And so I had wanted to present that in a sacred way. That some of it was in the form of warnings. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, I have to be honest. And some of it was of what would happen should we choose the higher path, would be a way of saying it. First of all, they made it very clear that they are here now with their ships. They're being shown to many people. There's no specific group. You don't have to go out in the field and do contact. They're coming into the cities. They're coming in to whom they choose, when they choose, how they choose. So there's no limitation here. You don't have to pay money or join a group. Yeah. And they're doing this because it is urgent. And what is urgent from their perspective is the ignition of planet Earth, or Gaia Terra, as she is known to many, into this galactic, what is called, community. Many people have used the term federation. It is actually an interdimensional, multi-universal community of planetary systems. We are on probation right now as to our admission, and we are scheduled for a certain point in frequency, not time. There's no clock or date that anyone can give, but a certain frequency that we are to join with these other galactic nations. And they are waiting for us because there is a union of nations, if you will, peoples and beings that are needed to go as a unitary force into the next evolutionary scale for many star nations. And Earth is on the verge of entering into that. However, something happened here on Earth that put us behind, and they have come to speed us up. This speeding up means that there will be some challenges for us. In other words, as we know time to be, it is shortened. One of the things, and there's no ability here to go deeply into that, that I gave in terms of how 24-hour days are now the equivalent of 16-hour days because of the frequencies that we have, the frequency pattern of the Earth. So basically, people that had 24 hours to do something, it is now the equivalent of 16. And that is because by Earth standards, I'll use Earth speak, time has sped up. And time has sped up because we have to join in with these other planetary systems. And what that means is not all of us will be able to go, James.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting a crash course in raising our frequencies.
Earth is raising her frequency. Those on it are raising their frequency. And whether we are prepared or not, it is happening. Mm-hmm. And so what they are here to do once the call was given to them was to help Earth. In other words, you're not feeling too good, so I'm going to put my arms around you and hold you. And maybe you don't know how to swim, but I do. So I'm going to put a life jacket on you, and I'm going to put your oxygen mask on. Hold on to me because I'm going to swim and hold you. Don't panic. And that's basically what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad. I've seen that over and over. Where some people, you know, I always say the chosen ones are the ones who chose, you know, to live a life in harmony with each other and nature and you know, the ones with the open minds, loving hearts and pure intent, you know, those are the chosen ones. And we can all choose to align with those, that higher consciousness and energy. And there are some, it's very clear, that have not chosen to align with that. And they probably may never choose to align with that, and they'll just have to go on and finish their lessons somewhere else because they won't be frequency specific to where the Earth is going.
That is correct. And the other aspect too is, as you have interacted with the Pleiadians and other star nations, is we have viewed everything from an Earth-centered point of view, and we need to view things from an intergalactic multiverse point of view. So while this planet is extremely important, we are not the center of the universes. Mm-hmm. And there are higher evolved star systems that have come to our assistance and aid. So we need to open our minds and begin to accept the assistance they are given, because time as we know it does not exist anymore. There is no time.
And it's hard for people to understand because we have been so programmed to be self-centered. I mean, a lot of the religions want us to believe that we're it. And the only it, you know, but there are beings out there that are, you know, hundreds, thousands, millions, even billions of years ahead of us in evolution. And, you know, we could really use the help right now, but we have to be open to that help.
What they have explained to me and is that they could care less about politics. This is not political. This is not any religion or nationality, and it has nothing to do with any monetary system or any material goods as we have ever known it to be. Now, many have said if others from other planetary systems came here and interacted with Earth, what would be the effect on our societies? And that the reason disclosure contact has not taken place is it would so alter our civilizations that it would put us into a state of shock. What they don't realize is we're already in a state of shock. Mm-hmm. And they have come here to take us out of shock and put us into a state of spiritual balance beyond any of these confines of politics or religion or race or nationality. And that is what we are having difficulty grasping, because we want to be a particular political party or we want to have a particular job or profession. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it's out of alignment with universal law or unity. It is.
It is. And in terms of the religions, they all have a piece of the truth. And if you notice, when any turmoil or time comes, even all of the churches and religions, they come together and they do respect each other and they each speak their truth. And it is sad that it is only in time of distress that this takes place. And what they've explained to me is that all of the religions have truth. And it is time that we begin sharing our truth, respecting each other, and coming together. So it is not an erasing of civilization. It is a coming together. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of harmony. They have told me a timeline. I'm not going to divulge that right now. But okay. Yes, they've given me the timeline as we measure time here on Earth. All I will say is it is not a long timeline.
Yeah, it's very short. I've been getting that too.
Sorry.
Same thing. I love what this one woman we work with, Mary, came through, and she said that, you know, that peace will never come through, governments or religious institutions, but through the hearts and minds of the people. And it's so important to realize that there's not an external source that's going to save us or take care of us or get us through this stuff. It's an internal source that we have to connect with and call forward. And that is that loving, joyous, blissful consciousness and energy, whatever you want to call it, you know, within everybody that needs to come forward and start living in peace and harmony again. It seems like that's what the teachings were. We're almost out of time. We just have, you know, a short time left. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with on your way out?
Yes, thank you. The most important thing at this time, and this is something that the Arcturians have told me over and over and over again, and you've shared here tonight, is to unite in love, to help each other, to feel tremendous compassion for each other, to put aside all differences and begin to work together in peace and harmony.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's been an awesome show and a pleasure talking with you. I'm sure a lot of people got a lot out of this and, you know, have a little hope. And I know we could probably go on for another 3 hours. It seems like we don't have that. But anyway, before we sign off, can you give your website?
Yes, it is windstargalactichealing.com.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough. Give the Arcturians a big hug. Send a few over my way.
And you got it, James.
Have a great evening, and we'll talk more.
Thank you. Great peace to you. Great love.
Right. You
Namaste.
Too. Good night.
Good night.
Well, the end of the hour, folks. We're signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies, and most of all, watch your heart, you know, and see where your heart's leading you. Anyway, have a good evening.